God dealt with me some time ago, and he dealt with me about not being connected to what we call the church culture. God wanted me, wants us to be connected to kingdom culture, because it's the kingdom that is being established here upon earth. It's the kingdom that is advancing. It's the kingdom that is going to be consummated when he returns again. And many times what we become a part of is the church culture, and the church culture really does not have the power to transform our lives. And what the Lord did is he showed me that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were there in the middle of the wilderness. God was moving in a way that nobody had ever seen God move before. He was on the mountain, shaking the mountain with his presence. The mountain was on fire. And I don't know how many times people have ever experienced the actual fire of God moving something in their lives. And as Moses is on the mountain, the children of Israel are down there, and what are they doing? They are building a golden calf, and they begin dancing around this golden calf, and they say, "This is our God. Let these be our gods and go before us." See, that's what we have done in the church, is we have created our own gods, and we have said, "Let these go before us." We have made a God that we want to serve instead of serving a God for who he really is. And we don't want to wait for God to, while he's dealing with us, while he's doing something in the mountain, so we create what we want to. And, you know, I believe in prosperity, but we create something called the prosperity gospel, and we say, "This is our God, let it lead us." And what it actually does is, what it does is the preacher preaches from his greed and he preaches to your greed. So $1,000, then you're going to get a new house. You know, we have 3 ways to jump up and down, 5 ways to roll on the ground, 7 steps to get your neighbor's wife. You know, we have created a God that we want to serve, when God is saying, "If you wait upon me, I am going to establish my kingdom. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. I will advance you into your destiny, into your promised land, and nobody will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." That is kingdom culture. That's not church culture. Be like the song, "I'm tired of playing church." And I think people are tired of playing church. We need to be a part of something, and I don't want to be connected to anything unless it's connected to the kingdom of God. That's the main message of Jesus Christ. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He says, "I'm making heaven available to you right now. All you have to do is reach out and take a hold of heaven. Stop playing the games with the church that you want to play and start grabbing a hold of my will and my purpose so that we can get things done here upon earth. We can take authority over every power of the enemy in this earth." But it takes something. And I want to read to you. We're going to be reading Matthew chapter 16. Has everybody found Matthew yet? If you haven't, come to the altar. We will pray for you. We'll be reading verses 13 through 25. Let's begin. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and I tell you, you are Peter." You ever felt like you've been more than one person in one body? "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Boy, that is incredible. Don't tell anybody who I am. We have business, we have all kinds of advertisements today about who we are. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and what? Many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside. Simon, who turned to Peter, has taken him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Boy, that's three personalities in one body. I always knew him as Peter and Simon Peter or Peter Simon, but you never thought it would be like Satan Simon or Peter Satan. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, not your neighbor's cross. It's easy to carry your neighbor's cross. And follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I want to talk to you about Coronation Day. Coronation Day is a time where the king steps into his office. God wants to declare a day for us where we step into our office as a kingdom of priests unto him. He wants to crown us with authority, but it takes a response from us. Now, this is not pride or arrogant preaching that we can deserve or do anything. It is a response to what Christ has already done for us that creates a thanksgiving in our life so that we respond in a proper way to him. Can we pray? Father, we thank you this day, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it, Lord. We thank you for your word this day, Lord God, that no matter how beautiful the flower grows, it will fade. And no matter how tall the grass will grow, it will wither. But Lord, we thank you that today your word stands forever. Lord, put eternity in our hearts this morning. Let us bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Lord, we ask that you would bind everything that would try to distract us from hearing and seeing what you are trying to do in and through our lives. Lord, we want to be crowned with glory and honor the way you want to crown us. So, Lord, we ask that you would have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's no accident that Jesus begins to move into the area of Caesarea Philippi. It was a very heathenistic area. It was an area that was very troubled with pagan worship. And in the midst of this area, in the midst of such an atmosphere, Jesus begins to ask his disciples a question. And he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And they begin to respond. Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. You know, there is never going to be an agreement about who you are. This world will never agree about who you are. People will try to define you. People will try to put an identity upon you. If you do not know who you are in Christ, you will be one of the most confused people upon this planet. That's why so many Christians and children of God are confused, because they don't know who they really are. They are listening to the opinions of man. But what we need is the determined counsel of God to declare who we really are in Christ. That's what keeps me seeking God, because when I find Him, I find who I am. We're not God. I'm not God. None of us are gods. But finding Him is finding me, because I have been created in His image and in His likeness. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why we need to seek the Lord, because when we find Him, when we see Him, the Bible says we shall be like Him. We have so many other ways to find out, to say we're like Jesus. Well, if you follow this plan, you're like Jesus. And if you follow these steps, you're like Jesus. No, if I can seek Him, I will find Him if I search for Him with all of my heart. And finding Him is finding me. Then I know who I really am. And I don't have to listen to my neighbor about who I am. I'm sure your neighbor has probably called you many different things. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Many of us are listening to too many other people trying to tell us who we are. What we need to do is we need to discover who Christ is. When we discover who Christ is, we discover who we are. And then we can operate as sons and daughters of the living God. Then Jesus begins to ask another important question. He says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? One person out of 12 speaks up. You know, what is killing the church today is the silent majority. People that are afraid to speak up. People that are always agreeing with the popular opinion of everybody else. We live in a place where you will get killed for preaching the gospel. You can lose your life for just decreeing and declaring. You can lose your inheritance. You can lose your house. You can lose everything that is important and materially in somebody's life for confessing and declaring Jesus Christ. And it's the silent majority that is killing the church. One out of 12 speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. And upon this rock will I build my church. Jesus says, I'm not going to build my church upon the backs of fearful people. I will not build my kingdom upon the backs of weak people. I will not build my church upon people that are afraid to take a stand. I will build my church on the backs of people that will step out and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. People that will speak up in troubled times. Peter had a revelation of Jesus Christ before the day of Pentecost. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church upon this because you're not afraid to take a stand. You're not afraid to declare who I am. You're not afraid to stand up in the midst of troubled times and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. The problem today is that we would rather be popular than powerful. We would rather agree with everybody else. We want to be popular and rather than being powerful. But let me tell you something. I would rather be powerful than I would be popular. I don't care who knows about my name. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to see the power of God moving in and through my life. And there he is, good old Simon Peter. I don't know about you, but he gives me hope. I like Jacob, you know, I like Jacob too. That just shows me that God doesn't give up on crazy people. I know some of you might not have that problem, but you know, some of us, you can be cutting and cussing at the same time. Peter was one of the foundation, one of the backs of the church building Jesus was building, and here's Peter cutting people's ears off and cussing. I know you've never cut anybody, or you've never, said anything that you regretted saying when nobody was listening. But for somebody like me, he gives me hope. You know, it was interesting because what makes it so interesting is when Jesus was raised from the dead and the women came and found that he was risen from the dead, Jesus says, you know what? Go call my disciples and Peter, the only one he calls by name. Why? Because Peter was not afraid to take a stand for Christ. Peter could hear the voice of God, and Peter was bold and courageous enough to put his life on the line. I know he denied Jesus 3 times. Well, now I might have to share something with you. Do you know why Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. A pastor told me that one. And there's Peter. And we identify him as Simon, which means unstable. He is unstable in his life in that moment of time. And I wonder how many of us have ever been unstable in our minds, unstable in our emotions, unstable in our financial management, unstable in different areas of our life. Peter is a reflection of many of us and our instability in life. Yet he goes from being unstable to being the rock. He goes from being unstable to being absolutely solid. Through one revelation of who Jesus was, when he confessed the Christ, he went from being unstable to being solid. That's what Jesus will do in your life. He will take you from being unstable to being absolutely solid. solid in your walk with Him. You'll be solid in your faith. You'll be solid in your relationships. You'll be solid in your finances. When you have an encounter with Christ, He turns your instability into solidity, and there you are, not shaken with the wind any longer. You're able to stand against any storm life sends your way. I guess that made up for the joke. And in front of everybody, He ascends. Isn't that amazing that Jesus says, Peter, you're the greatest preacher in Las Vegas. In front of John, in front of James, in front of Anne, in front of all the other preachers, Peter is the one that Jesus compliments, and there's Peter. Hey, John, did you hear that? I'm the man. Baby, give me a Bible. You don't even have to get your parents involved in positional fights any longer, James and John. You know what? Jesus just said, I'm the man. You know, you don't have to jostle for position anymore. I have the position. These jokers, just like some of the jokers nowadays, we fight over position. You know, they wanted position so bad, they got their mother involved in the fight. But He ascends and is elevated in the midst of everybody else because He confesses Christ. He has an encounter. He has a revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so important. It's not good enough just to declare God or to say God. Now, I'll give you some theological study here, because when they prayed to God in the Old Testament, they were praying to Yahweh, but they wouldn't even say the name Yahweh. We get the word Jehovah. It is a man-made word by taking different letters of the Hebrew alphabet and bringing them together because they don't know how to describe who is indescribable. When He wanted to be known, He told Moses, you know what, Moses? I am that I am. I am everything that you need me to be. You cannot define who I am. A rock cannot define me. A statue cannot define me. The sun cannot define me. A word cannot define me. I am that I am. That's how I'm defined. And the way I'm going to reveal myself is I'm going to do it in history through my son, Jesus Christ. I want to be known by the name of Jesus Christ. That's why it is so important to declare the name of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why when you declare the Christ, you are declaring, I am who I am. And it's not what God does, it is who He is. It's not that He delivers you, He is the deliverer. It's not that He gives provision, He is the provider. It's not that He gives you, He is the healer. And instead of seeking deliverance, we need to seek the deliverer. Instead of seeking provision, we need to seek the provider. Instead of seeking healing, we need to seek the healer. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because if you seek who He is, what He is will automatically come upon your life. And there's Peter. Simon to Peter to Satan. How can you go from being unstable to being solid to being Satan. I know it's probably never happened in your life, but you know, sometimes you go up and down and up and down and up. How can he go from being the rock to being the adversary? Because when pressure is put on you, everything comes out. He took Peter aside and said, Peter, I must suffer. And Peter began to rebuke him and say, far be it from you, Lord. He began to put pressure on Peter. And when you put pressure on certain people, everything comes out. I know all the good stuff comes out in church. You say all the right things when everybody is listening. You do all the right things when everybody is watching. But when nobody is around, you say everything. You might even do everything when nobody is watching. That's what happens when pressure is on you. If you don't believe me, just ask Job. He was righteous. He feared the Lord. He turned away from evil. He was good. He was just. But he was all. If you really read and do a psychological profile on Job, you might think he needs some mental help. One moment he says, the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. The next moment he says, cursed is the day I was born, and the breast that gave me suck. The next moment he says, I know my Redeemer lives. The next moment he says, woe is me. That's what it's like to walk with God. I know you don't say it, but you think it. And you might not be able to say amen right now, but just keep looking forward. When you get home from service, you can get a witness when you get home from service. That's how it is to walk up and down and up and down. Woe is me. Lord, I'm confident one day. Lord, I'm scared the next day. I don't know about you. Just ask David. One day he's killing a giant. The next day he's got binoculars looking at naked Bathsheba from his... Oh, well, look at Elijah. This man is praying fire down from heaven. One moment and the next moment he's running from a woman. Yeah, you get the right woman after you too. You'll be running the other direction as well. Lord, let me see how far I can get in this wilderness. She didn't even punch him. She just threatened him. Have you ever had to live with a threat? Threat of losing your house, threat of losing your relationship, threat of losing your business, threat of losing your marriage. I know we talk about blessing, 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 but what we need in the church is we need some truth in the church, because the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That's why there's so many bound Christians in the church, is because there's not truth being brought forth. We need truth, not acting. We need to be able to tell it like it is, live it like it is, and deal with it like it is. And if the truth be told, we all got problems. We all are dysfunctional in some area of our life. There he is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says something so amazing. I love it because it's something that I believe in 100% with all of my heart and my life. Jesus says this. He says, don't tell anybody. Why? Because everybody is telling everybody who they are. I believe in education, study to show thyself approved under God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe in education. I believe in different things. But now we don't have servants anymore. We have right reverends and left reverends and highest reverends and bishop doctors and all these other things. And haven't you seen me on TV? Haven't you heard me on the radio? Haven't you done this? And I mean, people have more degrees than a thermometer, but less power than a bicycle. But without a business card, without an internet ministry, without a TV ministry, Jesus had the biggest ministry of the day because he was not an entertainer. He was a servant, and his nourishment came from the will of the Father. And we as ministers, we as the church must learn how to feed ourselves from the will of God. When we learn how to feed ourselves from the will of God, the power will be there to accomplish his purpose in our lives. And he says, don't tell anybody. Why? Because real anointing doesn't have to be announced. When you are anointed, God will announce it in his time. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. And when you are anointed by God, you don't need the plans of man. All you need to do is stand in the purpose of God, and he will make sure he gives you the power to fulfill his purpose. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Why? Because when God gets ready to use you, he hides you. If any of you are getting ready to be used by God and you feel like you're hidden, don't give up on God. He's going to use you. Anything valuable in his kingdom, anything he's going to use in a genuine way, he always hides those people until the time is right. And what the devil wants you to do is the devil wants you to come out of hiding too soon. Because if you come out of hiding too soon, you're not grown enough, you're not strong enough, and he can tear you down. He can use people to steal what God has placed into your life. That's why you need to stay hidden until he calls you out. That's why Moses' mother was so wise. She took that gift she got from God, hid him in the bulrushes, put him into a little ark, and God grew him up in a palace. The problem with Joseph was is he came out too soon. If he knew how to hide his gift, he would have not had to go down to the pit. He would have not had to serve in Potiphar's house. He would probably not even have had to go to prison. Because he revealed his gift too soon, he came out too soon. He had to go through some things in his life. That's why you need to stay hidden until God brings you out. Don't worry about who's the next preacher in the church, who's going to lead the next Bible study, who's going to be the next leader on the mission trip. Don't worry about any of that stuff, because when it's your time, God will make sure you have your time. Amen. If you don't believe me, just ask David. Hey, Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse and anoint the next king over Israel. So here comes Jesse's sons. The first one passes by Samuel, and Samuel tries to pour the oil, and then nothing's flowing. He said, Lord, I got my horn open. My horn's not shut. There's oil in this horn, but nothing's flowing on his life. The seven sons of Jesse pass by, And there he is trying to anoint all the other seven sons, but the anointing's not flowing. He can't figure it out. He says, hey, Jesse, do you have another son somewhere? Jesse said, yeah, he's out there shoveling sheep dung. And he probably smells like some of that too, so I left him out there. Call him. And when David stepped before Samuel, Samuel began to tip the oil and the anointing began to flow, because the anointing knows who it is supposed to rest upon. When God has meant something for you, it is meant for you. Nobody else can steal what God has set aside and ordained for you to have. Don't worry about who else will try to steal your blessing. What God meant for you will be yours. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to fight. You don't have to be in competition. You don't have to have strife. Just wait upon God, because if you wait upon him, you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Praying, but I was hidden. Anointed, but you were hidden. Praising, but you were hidden. Crying, but you were hidden. Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. When he hides you, you are in that secret place. You are abiding in his shadow, right next to where he is at. And your strength comes from the Lord. That's why you don't have to do anything. Let God do it. I'm not promoting laziness. I'm not telling you sit back and do nothing. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Let God bring you out. Let God declare, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And there's Simon, Peter, and, you know, Satan. There he is. And Jesus says this. He says, you know, I have to suffer. Now, what I'm about ready to say is probably the most important thing that the church can grasp. Because suffering is the lost teaching in the church. We want easy religion. That's why Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus, because Peter wanted easy religion. He did not want to suffer, but there's something about suffering that puts you into the plan and purposes of God. You might not have a new pair of shoes, but keep walking to that place and preaching the gospel. You might have the same shirt you had on last week, but keep preaching the gospel. You might not be able to do many things that others have, but keep pressing forward, because God has a call upon your life. Amen. See, the suffering is your cross. Don't let anybody try to crown you before you've been crossed. Because if they crown you before you've been crossed, the crown will be too heavy for your head. You have to have been strong enough to carry the cross. Then only you're strong enough to enter into your coronation day, where God can trust you with his crown. And what I love about Jesus, this is what Jesus says. He says, follow me. Take up your cross, not your neighbor's cross, and follow me. Travel with your cross. You're going to have to travel with it. You can't leave it in Sunday morning service. You can't leave it in Wednesday night Bible study. You have to travel with your cross. You have to take it to your job. You have to take it to your education. You have to take it wherever you go. And Jesus says, just follow me. I'll set an example for you. If I step, you step. If I walk, you walk. All you have to do is follow me. I might step you into a mess, but if you keep on following me, I'll step you out of the mess and into a miracle, because a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God wants soldiers and not just survivors. He wants soldiers. He wants people that are going to go through hell, be able to lift their hands and still say, thank you, Lord. I know I didn't get the job you wanted me to get, or the job I wanted to get, but I thank you anyway. I was hurting all through the relationship, but I thank you anyway. I lost the business, but God, I thank you anyway. The doctor said there is no cure, but I don't know how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, but I thank you because I know that you are going to do it, because by your stripes I am healed. Amen. God wants soldiers, people that can go through hell and keep their eyes on heaven. He says, follow me. Take up your cross. And don't let anybody call you down from your cross. Your cross is desiring what God wants you to have when God wants you to have it. I hope you understood that. Wanting what God wants you to have when God wants you to have it. And when you're on the cross, Jesus said, I'm going to set an example. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. You're going to be right in the middle of wrong. He's crucified in between two thieves. He's right in the middle of wrong. He's got wrong on. He's innocent in the middle of guilt. He's righteous in the middle of unrighteousness. You have to keep your focus while you're on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he was still preaching forgiveness. When people were hurting him, he was preaching healing. When you don't have a dollar, you can still preach prosperity. When God hasn't healed you yet, you can still preach healing. You have to keep your focus. You can be right in the middle of wrong, but keep your focus, because if you will go to the cross with him, he will take you through a resurrection with him. He will crown you with glory and honor. Don't let anybody call you down from that cross. Jesus was on the cross, and they said, if you really are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down. You don't have to suffer that pain. You're a child of God. You don't need to be lonely. Go, just come down from your cross. Go to the club tonight. You know, that's the job you need. Don't be honest on the application. Come down from it. Save yourself the pain of being unemployed another 2 weeks. Come down from your cross. and lie on your application. Why? Because if the devil can steal your cross, he will steal your crown. If he can steal your cross, he can steal your crown. God doesn't want your crown to be stolen. He's saying just a little bit longer. See, the other title I would give this sermon is Hurry Up and Die. Because when they were crucified, what they would do is to delay death. When a criminal was crucified, he would push up on the nails that went through his feet so that he could delay the death process in his life. He would take the and he would push up on those nails, delaying the death process. Sure, that might be painful, but he would not have to fully die. That's why the Roman soldiers would come around breaking legs, so that they would make sure you hurry up and died. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they came to the first thief. And he was pushing up, and they said, he's still living. So they hit his legs. And when they broke the legs, they broke the strength. They would drop down and they would everything would begin to asphyxiate, and they would go through that crucifixion process and they would die. And they came to the next thief, the other criminal. And there he is. He's delaying the death in his life. And so what did they do? They broke his legs. But when they came to Jesus, they said, we don't have to touch him. He's already dead. Don't make God break your legs. We have to learn how to hurry up and die so that we can get our crowns. God wants us to endure the cross, despise the shame, be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God wanted me to tell you today that if you would hurry up and die, you would hurry up and live. You would live a life of resurrection, where death would not be able to steal your family, where death would not be able to steal your finances, where death would not be able to touch anything that belonged to you. Why? Because you're carrying resurrection life. If you would hurry up and die, God would empower you to hurry up and live. And that life would be with so much resurrection that anything you come into contact with would begin to come back to life. See, there's going to be pain. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be suffering. But 3 days later, death could not hold him. Hell could not handle him. The grave could not keep him. Hell was having a party when he was on the cross, cracking open the champagne bottles. Until 3 days later, the devil got news that he wasn't on the cross anymore. He dialed up death. He called up death and said, hey, death, what happened? He said, he took the sting out of me. He called the stone, and the stone said, I couldn't stand in front of him. He rolled me away. When you walk through the cross, God will bless you with a crown. That's why this can be your coronation day. The day where God places a crown upon your head. Because you said yes to his cross. It's not always easy. You might feel like Simon one day, Peter the next day, and Satan another day. And he says, Peter, I called you Satan because you're not savoring the things that be of God. See, when our desires, when his desire becomes our desire, we can stay stable in our faith. We can stay stable in our minds. We can stay stable in our emotions. We can be stable in every area of our lives. What the church has done is it's removed the cross out of the gospel. That's why I want to be connected to the kingdom, because the kingdom is built on the cross. I'd like to take a moment. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. The good news today is that God has a crown waiting for you. There is new authority. I'm sensing from the Holy Spirit that some of you need the authority, some authority in your life over the challenges and the adversities that you are facing right now. And God has a crown for you. But you have to be willing to fully say yes to the cross. You have to want what God wants you to have when God wants you to have it. The first thing God wants you to have is the assurance of your eternal position in his kingdom. He wants you to be assured of your salvation in him. And if you have been living a life of compromise or a life where you have been carrying part of your cross, but not the whole cross, God wants to crown you, but he wants to cross you first. And this morning, if you're willing to take that step with God and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to surrender my life fully unto you. I'm going to hand over control of my heart and of my mind into your hands so that you have full and complete control. I would like you to lift up your hands. A full cross means a full crown. I'm not going to ask you to repeat a prayer. I'm going to ask you to agree with me. I'm going to pray with you because whatever we agree with in our lives, we empower. And if we agree with God's word this morning, we will empower his word in our life. We will empower the crown that he wants to place upon our head. And those of us with our hands lifted, we're just going to agree for that complete and full surrender. Lord, we thank you that we have been here this morning, Lord God, underneath the anointing of your word. For that's why we're here, Lord God. We're here for your word. And your word has been spoken and declared. And this morning we surrender our lives to your word, Lord God. We take up our cross and we follow you. Lord, we understand this morning, Lord God, that if we will allow you to cross us, we will also allow you and enable you to crown us. Lord, we don't want to make you break our legs, Lord. We're going to stop pushing up on the nail and delaying the processes in our life. And Lord, right now we give our heart, we give our lives in full and complete surrender to you. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.